Welcome to Historically St. Pete, a weekly conversation where we explore the truths and the myths of the people and events that have created the Sunshine City. Hi, my name is Ruiz Rios, and I have the coolest job in town. I am the executive director of the St. Petersburg Museum of History. Located on the St. Pete Pier, the Museum of History has been sharing the stories of the Sunshine City for 103 years, and now we're happy to share them with you here on Radio St. Pete. So recently, there have been numerous meetings and discussions about the revitalization of the waterfront property that the Dali and the Mahaffey sit on today. Talks about creating an arts center or a center of the arts has raised the question for and of the best use of our waterfront land. But you really can't move forward without looking at our past. This isn't the first time we as a city have looked at that property to create something magical for St. Petersburg. In the mid-1960s, the city of St. Petersburg set out on a mission to modernize the city. Some of the 1920s and older buildings were coming down, and new modern buildings were going up, including the Museum of Fine Arts on Straw Park. The city, wanting to shed the retiree image that it had, set out on projects to provide entertainment and activities to attract a much younger population to the Sunshine City. Set along the downtown waterfront at 400 First Street South, the Bayfront Center complex emerged as one of the St. Petersburg's most ambitious mid-century civic projects. The waterside venue, consisting of a multi-use indoor arena and an adjoining theater, later renamed the Mahaffey, officially opened with great fanfare on May 6, 1965. Designed to accommodate events of all kinds, the arena could hold up to 8,600 people, depending on its configuration, and was intended to serve as a cultural, civic, and entertainment hub for the growing city. Over its four-decade run, the Bayfront Center welcomed some of the biggest names in music and entertainment. Performers such as Elvis Presley, Frank Sinatra, Ray Charles, Jimmy Buffett, Johnny Cash, and the Grateful Dead all took the stage, cementing the venue's place in the city's cultural life. I remember, actually, how shocked we were in the 1980s when the conservative government of St. Petersburg gave permission for the Deadheads to use the empty lot across from the Bayfront Center to camp out for the Grateful Dead weekend. It was pretty incredible, actually, to see diehard hippies get out of their BMWs and Mercedes at that time. Beyond the concerts, the arena hosted political rallies, business conventions, about 6 million kids graduating from high school, and of course the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. But really, sports was its origin. Originally configured to host professional hockey, the Bayfront Center was home to the Suncoast Suns pro hockey team that played in the Eastern Hockey League. And if you were a kid growing up in St. Petersburg when the Bayfront Center was around, there's no way that you would miss those summers when it was about 90 degrees outside, when the city would make ice on the Bayfront floor and have ice skating throughout the summer. National high school basketball tournaments filled the arena. And then on Valentine's Day, 1975, the Bayfront Center gave birth to the North American Soccer League's Tampa Bay Rowdies. They played their indoor seasons, winning league championships twice in the Bayfront, and played outdoors in the old Tampa Stadium on Dale Mabry. The Rowdies shared the arena in the 1980s with the Tampa Bay Thrillers of the Continental Basketball Association. And after the Rowdies ceased operations in 1993, the Tampa Bay Terror Pro Indoor Team spent two seasons in the building from 1995 to 1997. But growing up in St. Pete, who could forget professional wrestling from Tampa? The NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance, featured Jack and Jerry Briscoe, Dusty Rhodes, Terry Funk, Andre the Giant, and of course its legendary host Gordon Solie, where monthly those matches would be broadcast or telecast live from the Bayfront Center. A major renovation culminated in the grand reopening on September 4th, 1988, and it drew an estimated 50,000 visitors. But rising costs, much needed repairs, competition from newer facilities around the Bay Area, and the largest factor, the fact that the Dali Museum was in desperate need of a new home, led to its demolition in 2004. It went to public referendum, and the people of St. Pete voted and agreed to give the Dolly the property that is built on today. The Bayfront Theater, remolded and renamed the Mahaffey, remains as a cultural gem of St. Petersburg. I invite everyone to tune in weekly to History. I invite everyone to tune in weekly to Historically St. Pete on Radio St. Pete. Don't forget to stop by the Bayfront. Oh my God, let me try this again. I invite everyone to tune in weekly to Historically St. Pete on Radio St. Pete. Don't forget to stop by the St. Pete Museum of History on your next visit to the pier. Just as importantly, make sure you check out our new exhibits coming down the road. We'll be opening an exhibit in January called Wish You Were Here. It's the story of tourism in St. Petersburg. You won't want to miss it. Thank you for listening, and join us next week on Historically St. Pete.